credit scores, down payments, interest rates. Car buying can be a numbers game, but you don't have to be a math expert to get the keys to your dream car. Just use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. Crunch your numbers and get personalized results so you know exactly how much you'll pay each month for your car. It's like having a magic wand for your wallet. Presto! The car you've been wanting is now within reach. So hit the road and leave your calculator at home. AutoTrader.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Bryant here of Stuff You Should Know, and welcome to the weekend. It's Saturday, and you know what that means. It's time for another Stuff You Should Know Select episode, where Josh and I pick our favorites from the past 1,000-plus episodes and repost them in hopes that you might discover something old. Here we go. Something old? Is that a good way to sell something? That's why we call them classics and selects. July 29th, 2010 was a very special day because that is the day we released the episode How Traffic Works. Yes, traffic. Not drug trafficking, but traffic. Car traffic. We all hate it, but you know what? Maybe you should understand it a little better. Really interesting, and I believe Josh even coined his own term, if I'm not mistaken, for this one. A brake bubble? Dare I say? Does my memory serve me? Well, find out by listening right now to How Traffic Works.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Charles Precious Bryant. How you doing, Precious?
This is the podcast based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Yep, that is absolutely right. Word for word, right?
Jerry just got mad because you did a spoiler.
Yeah.
For Precious.
I'm known for spoilers, aren't I?
Yeah.
At least two.
E.T. phoned what? Home.
No, there was 6 Feet Under, and there was another one I spoiled too, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was one you spoiled that was a really old movie, and I was like, come on, that movie's like 15 years old.
Yeah.
There's a statute of limitation.
What was it, Buckaroo Banzai?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah, me too. Chuck?
Yes?
Have you ever been in traffic? That's the best I got. How do you set this up? Chuck, do you like Steve Winwood?
Yeah, you know, I was going to make a traffic, the band comment.
Have you ever seen The Low Spark of High Heel Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it?
Traffic.
I'm like trying to...
You know, he was like 16 or 15 when he first joined traffic?
Is that right?
Steve Winwood, yeah.
See, that guy's he's a Lothario.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean a prodigy.
Yeah. Yeah, traffic. I've been in traffic, buddy. You?
Yes, I have actually been in traffic. Happens a lot because I don't ride MARTA. You ride our fine, crippled public transit yeah. system here in Atlanta, don't
I'm
you?
I'm never in traffic anymore. It's really been a huge difference in my life.
Yeah. Well, I don't ride MARTA because I tend to avoid the smell of urine. And reading while moving makes me sick. So I'm, you know, plus I used to value being able to smoke.
Yeah, dude. I was just about to say, that's why I used to drive.
Yeah. And now I'm just like, I just do it out of habit. But I get caught in traffic a lot and it stinks.
I don't see you on a public transport. You're not that kind of social.
No. That's the other thing, too. It's like, oh, hey, we work together. Let's talk the whole time.
No, I don't. I wear my sunglasses. It can be dark and raining, and I've told everyone here that if I have my shades on, that means the office is closed.
Nice.
The store is shut down.
That's very nice.
The Chuck store is.
You look super cool.
Yeah. All right, so I'm a jerk that doesn't talk to coworkers. Now, moving
too,
on.
Buddy, it's okay. Chuck, do you remember when we recorded Quicksand?
Yes.
Do you remember how we said that there's like... a finite amount of stuff out there about Quicksand because there's a finite amount to know.
Yeah.
There's a finite amount to know about traffic, but there's tons of information out there.
Yeah, lots of little side things to know for sure.
Yeah, because ultimately traffic happens in two ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is there is simply congestion. There's just too many cars on the road
yeah.
to to carry the flow of traffic quickly.
Right.
Right? The other way is there is some unpredictable event. Yeah. Somebody's pulled over. Somebody's broken down. There's a wreck.
Weather.
There's maybe an event. But sure. That falls under congestion.
Police have pulled over a speeder. People right. always slow down for that.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Those are pretty much the two broad categories that traffic can be created, right?
Yeah.
And what happens in each of those events is somebody up front puts on their brakes, and that one press of the brakes travels backward all the way through, right? When you have a bunch of different cars in uh-huh. different lanes doing that at the same time, you have traffic.
You know what that's called?
A traffic wave.
Yes. That's true. It's a domino effect. It's very easy.
It is. And I came up with my own idea of describing this. You ready?
No, boy.
Okay. So what I came up with is called a traffic bubble.
Okay.
By Josh Clark.
Uh-huh.
So the traffic bubble happens when somebody is driving along and presses their brakes for whatever reason.
Okay.
And just imagine that when they press that brake, this big bubble grows over the car.
Okay.
And it starts very slowly traveling backward.
Uh-huh.
And each car behind that car that created the traffic bubble isn't allowed to accelerate again until the traffic bubble is passed through them.
Right.
But then the further back the traffic bubble goes, the more it dissipates uh-huh. until eventually the people far enough back don't have to go through the traffic bubble and they're not affected by it.
And does the bubble pass through the front cars to where they can then again accelerate? Is that how you see it? Is it a moving bubble?
Yeah, the bubble travels backwards over the traffic, and then once it passes over you, you're allowed to accelerate okay. again.
I believe you just coined a term, my friend.
Traffic bubble.
Like that jerk scientist.
Or no, breaking bubble. That's what I called it.
Oh, okay. Breaking bubble?
Yeah, like a piping effect.
Yes.
I hate that guy.
And he hates you.
I don't care.
So, traffic, Josh, we might as well throw in a few stats here.
Yeah, this one's stat heavy.
It is.
This article by our colleague, Jonathan Strickland.
At Tech Stuff?
Yeah, the baldest podcaster on staff here.
What's a good stat here? The estimated traffic cost, if you want to talk about cost of traffic, in about 5 years ago, they estimated about $78 billion. And that's only fuel and wasted time. They don't take into account, like, pollution, environmental damage, health costs due to pollution. I mean, it would really add up if you got to, you know, include those things.
Yeah, and with extra gas that was bought in 2007, right? Isn't that the year that study was conducted or covered? We in the U.S. bought 2.9 billion extra gallons of oil because of traffic. And the annual cost for each individual motorist in America was like $710.
Just sitting there.
Just from traffic. Not from, you know, commuting. The gas that you need to actually get from point A to point B, but the extra gas used from idling.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
And I believe L.A. tops it out, obviously, at about 2 weeks a year you potentially spend sitting in your car in traffic.
Yeah, L.A. has there's this group called the Texas Transportation Institute, and I think they're out of A&M, maybe?
Yeah, Texas A&M.
UTEP?
No, it's A&M.
Okay.
They're awesome.
They are like the leaders in studying and understanding and trying to mitigate traffic, right? And they came up with this thing called the Travel Time Index, right?
Yeah.
So basically you take the amount of time it takes, and it's specific to each city, and it's for each city. It's not compared from city to city.
Right.
It's compared to a certain time in one city to another time in the same city.
Yeah.
So in an off-peak time, say you can travel the speed limit, it takes you 1 hour to get from point A to point B.
Right.
In Los Angeles, it would take 1.92 hours.
Yeah. Doubles your time, basically.
During rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes twice as long to get from point A to point B during rush hours compared to off-peak.
Oh, yeah.
That's the travel time index.
Yeah, and you have to do this anywhere you live where there's heavy traffic, but when I lived in L.A., I used to have to always think, all right, well, this would take me 45 minutes normally. So, and when you work in the movie business, you can't be late. That's just not one of the things you do.
Yeah, I would think so.
You've got to be there on time or early. So you're like, well, it's supposed to take me 45 minutes, so I'm going to give myself like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I gave myself more than double to get anywhere I needed to go.
That's very smart.
And it's awful is what it is.
Yeah, LA's got it bad, but Chuck, we have it pretty bad too.
Yeah, Atlanta's really bad.
We're among like probably I think the top three or four. I heard a year or so ago that Atlanta had toppled LA, but I never saw any citation for
All this, it depends on how they are rating it. Some they rate them differently, mm-hmm. like the amount of time you spend in your car commuting or the amount of time you sit idling. So it kind of depends, but Atlanta's way up there. Boston, Seattle, San Francisco.
Yeah. Actually, I think DC. Boston's absent from that.
Oh, really?
I think that they have made some moves that have kind of mitigated traffic and gotten them off some of the
I know the Big Dig was messing everything up.
The Big Dig was just killing people.
Yeah, and D.C. is awful. Have you ever driven around there?
No, I haven't. Yumi was talking about how, especially during the summer, during the travel or the tourist season,
yeah.
it's just mind-numbing.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, way out into the suburbs in Virginia and Maryland, mm-hmm. sitting there.
Yeah.
You know what they did in L.A. that I saw one time that I'd never seen was I was going down the highway one day, and I noticed everyone was slowing down, and I looked up ahead on the expressway, and there were two California Highway Patrol cars doing huge, slow S's back and forth on the six lanes of expressway, not letting, like, keeping everyone back, like a NASCAR, like a
pace car?
Yeah, like a pace car, but, you know, they weren't driving straight. They were driving these big S's, like, don't go by me. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before in my life.
What would have made it even funnier is if they'd been driving those S's with their hands out the window and their guns just shooting into the air yeah, while they were doing exactly. it. That would really say, don't drive past me, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that would have been great. And apparently they do that. It's I don't know what they call it, but that's to slow everyone down.
It's called being a
Yes. And on that note, my friend Derek has a joke about Atlanta traffic, and he's right, because Atlanta, before there's traffic, everyone's driving really, really what? Fast.
Yeah, that's one of the great characteristics about Atlanta, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You go as fast as you can.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the average flow of traffic, I would say, is about 70 miles an hour around here.
And that's with, like, a lot of people all around you.
Yeah, everybody's bumper to bumper going at least 70. And yeah. the cops don't pull you over unless you're going over 70.
Yeah.
And even then, like, it's usually like you're going 80 or 90
right.
when you get pulled over because everybody else is going 70.
Right, and that's my buddy Derek's joke is in Atlanta, and it's really true, it's not a joke, everyone drives as fast as they can every day until somebody, and then someone wrecks.
Right.
And then traffic backs up.
Right, exactly.
Every single day.
That's Atlanta traffic.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Right. Are we done?
So let's just sit here and do traffic stories.
Yeah, just talk about what angers us.
So, Chuck, there's a lot of smart people who study traffic because, like you said, there's, what was it, how much money in 2005, $78 billion just from fuel and wasted time?
Yeah.
Because think about it. A person's time is money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And if you're sitting in traffic, unless you're one of those jerks like me who has an iPhone that emails while he's driving,
right,
then you're wasting money, right?
Right.
And actually, there's this there's a group called Commute Solutions. They're out of Santa Cruz. And they calculated the actual cost per mile of driving, not just traffic, but driving.
Right.
To each person is $1.19 per mile.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that includes everything. I don't know how they came up with that number, but check it out.
Well, if we're talking about highways and stats, we might as well talk about the same Texas group did a study, and they found that traffic over the past 25 years has increased 131%, and by 2015, they predict it will go up another 40%. And here's what's remarkable. 1.2%, only 1.2% of all our roads are highways, yet they shoulder half the traffic, half the car travel.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy. And you don't usually think about, when you think about traffic, I usually think about the highway myself, although I rarely get on the highway anymore. It's all surface streets that I take to and from work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you go, Druid Hills?
No. Piedmont.
Oh, okay.
I go basically up Piedmont
right.
Road. But it's traffic every day, but I don't think of it as traffic. When I think of traffic, I think of 75 at rush hour.
Right.
And just like exit ramps backed up. The thing is our surface streets are also intended to handle overflow of highway traffic, right?
Yeah.
Not just people who are backed up from the exit ramp back onto the street, but I mean people who are making a conscious decision, like me,
yeah,
to find a different way that doesn't have anything to do with the highway.
Sure.
Right? And they found that if you want to widen a highway, I think we talked about this in like the urban planning one,
uh-huh,
that when you widen a highway, there's something called a latent demand. It's a theory that if you widen the highway, people like me are going to be like, oh, well, now there's 11 lanes instead of 5, so I'll just hop on the highway.
Right.
And so the demand increases in step with the widening of the lanes, so it actually doesn't mitigate anything by adding more lanes to a highway.
Right. I think they said the only way that'll work is if they outpace demand with lanes, and that just doesn't happen. There's many cars.
Too expensive. But it that kind of makes sense to throw that money then instead into upfront costs for a light rail system.
Yeah.
You know?
You hippie?
I'm still holding out for personal rapid transit.
Oh, right.
That was a Paulette and Me podcast, but it was interesting.
It's a good one.
Yeah, thanks.
Ramp metering, if you're talking about solutions, that's another one. And they had these in L.A., and they have them here in Atlanta now. It's where when you go to get on the highway, now they have stoplights that just allow like one car through every few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you get on at Freedom Parkway,
mm-hmm,
I used to fly around that curve.
Yeah, it was a fun curve.
And jump into traffic.
Yeah.
And squeeze in however I could.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I was one of those jerks causing traffic.
Well, I think anybody entering is. Because, again, with traffic, especially with just straight-up congestion, there's just too many cars in one place, especially when you have a line of traffic and then more people directly adding to that lane.
Yeah.
Right?
But ramp metering really, really works. They did a study in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
They have 430 ramp meters, and in 2000, they shut them all down for 7 weeks. And during that time, traffic accidents increased 26%.
I know.
And then afterward, they reinstituted it, and they saw the capacity increase by 14%.
Right. And they walked away from that project going, like with their hands in their pockets.
You went, oh.
Yeah, like we should probably not tell anybody about that. Yeah.
I was trying to do a Minnesota accent.
But that was pretty good.
I couldn't do it. All I said was, oh.
I know. It wasn't bad, though. That's how they say it.
HOV lanes is another thing that they've done pretty much countrywide.
Yeah.
Carpool lanes. Those help.
Yeah.
I always forget when I have another person in the car, though.
Yeah.
I'll get like halfway where I'm going and say, oh, man, let's get in the carpool lane.
Yeah. I have to say, though, the HOV lane, to me, it's an extension of the fast lane. So you got the fast lane, and then you have the HOV lane. And I hate it when it's the fast lane is just the fast lane. The HOV lane is like, I drive as slow as I want, but I have, you know, four people in my car.
Agreed.
It makes it difficult. It's kind of like the HOV lane to me is you have two or more people and you're willing to drive 10 miles per hour faster than anybody else on the highway.
Agreed. Right? And since we talked about pet peeves in our last podcast, one of my largest pet peeves is when I'm sitting in traffic and I'll see people speeding by me in the HOV lane by themselves. Nothing bothers me more than people that think the rules don't apply to them.
I hate that, too.
I hate those people.
Or people who use the shoulder and just drive along in traffic as far as they can to get, like, 50 cars ahead.
Yeah, I almost got plowed over in L.A. one time. I was getting out to get in the regular exit lane, and I almost got creamed by a truck that was on the shoulder.
Yeah.
And I screamed at him that he almost killed me, and he says, "What are you, a cop?" That's L.A. for you. I was like, he literally almost killed me.
Yeah.
"What are you, a cop?"
If you were a cop, you'd be making lazy S's in front of traffic.
Firing my gun into the air.
Exactly.
What else, Josh?
There's
adding lanes. We already talked about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's that one. Then there's probably the most contentious idea, congestion pricing, which is basically taxing people to drive. And there's a guy named Alistair Darling. I don't know if he's still the transportation secretary, but he's something of a rock star in the transportation world because he was a huge proponent of this. And he said,
In England.
He was the British transportation secretary. He basically said, you know, cars exact a toll on the environment and on the road just by driving on them. So we should charge people to drive on the roads. What he failed to mention is that we already do. There are things called taxes, and those are meant to pay for the roads.
Right?
He's forgetting about, you know, all the other misused money. But they did actually have one in Great Britain. Do they still, Chuck?
No. I don't think they ever instituted it, did they?
They had a pilot program from 2003 to 2007 in London.
It's not anymore, for sure.
And it worked like a champ for them in London, at least. Yeah. There was a 30% drop in congestion, 20% decrease in fossil fuel consumption.
Wow.
20% decrease in CO2 emissions. So, like, in London, Singapore, Stockholm.
San Francisco.
New York. Did they institute one?
No, San Francisco is studying it. New York, Bloomberg has proposed it, and they've studied it. And I just pulled this from this week, actually. Lord Adonis is actually – he's the transport secretary, unless it's a new guy. What was your guy?
His name is Lord Adonis?
Yeah. Lord Adonis, the transport secretary.
I just came up with a new hotel pseudonym. Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, that's where Josh will be staying in New York under Lord Adonis.
Lord Adonis.
It says it's ruled out the introduction of a national road pricing for the next parliament, but they uncovered that civil servants are still involved with the project and spending money on research. Even though they supposedly took it off the table, it was kind of a secret that they were still, like, tinkering with it.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you were, like, saying these people were paying for this research out of their own paychecks.
No, but they've sunk £7.2 million that I guess the public didn't know. They thought it was off the table. So they're kind of under some hot water, in some hot water there.
They're in some deep quicksand.
Yeah, they said Gordon Brown and Alistair Darling have been caught red-handed planning a spy in the sky system. A spy in the sky.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess we should probably explain congestion pricing. Basically, every car on the road, I guess when you would go get your vehicle tag or something, you also get a radio frequency identifier, right?
Right.
And as you're driving, some satellite is tracking you, or you pass through some sector or something like that, and all of a sudden you're in a toll area. And much like, say, one of those toll passes,
right?
You are sent a bill, or there's like you have to set up like a credit card or a bank account, attach that to your tag, and it just draws money from it.
Yeah.
Based on however much you drive in there. In Singapore, when they first instituted theirs, and actually in 1995, they had a flat rate for downtown, which is the most congested. During peak hours, you had to pay $3 to just drive around downtown. You could drive around all you wanted. And as they've gotten better at it, they're getting a little fancy schmancy with it. You know, like, well, if you want to drive here, it's $1.75 for 20 minutes, but you can back, you know, two blocks over and it's just 50 cents and so on.
Well, that's one of the rubs that one of the big things is in England, at least, and other places too, I think they've suggested paying more for peak hour.
Right.
So be flexible in your work schedule.
Right.
But then, of course, people that are a friend of the poor say that's regressive taxation because white collar dudes can be all flexible and work from home, but the poor have to get up and go to work during peak hours.
Right.
So they're basically paying for the road that the rich man drives on less.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's the big problem. I mean, aside from having to pay to drive with a congestion tax.
Yeah.
What else can you do, Chuck? And also remember, we were talking, this isn't just highways, surface streets too. Everybody, don't get all anxious. We're talking about surface streets as well.
Yes. Surface streets, you get a lot of suburban sprawl, you know, like here in Atlanta, you've got like out in Roswell 20 years ago, it was pretty desolate. Cow patties.
And shrooms.
And now it's all, young families moving out there who don't want to be around urban types.
Yeah, and you have a lot more cars. You have, again, that one of two ways that you can cause traffic.
Right.
Just put more cars on a road than it's designed to handle.
And out in the boonies like that, they weren't built for, they were built for farmland. All of a sudden, they got all these suburban people moving out there.
Yeah, and
traffic lights is something they can do.
Yeah, this one disturbed me. So you have a traffic light that is on a timer, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I hate those things so much.
Decatur.
Especially when they're poorly timed.
Decatur is awful.
Yes. Yeah, Decatur is awful. There's another one for the Piedmont Park parking deck.
Oh, really?
And it just does whatever it wants, no matter what time of day, and if there's a car there or not, and people are just stopped in either direction, right? And that's a timed light, and timed lights are awful. They're awful, right?
Yes.
Then you have censored lights, which are awesome. Right? Because you just come up and the weight of your car triggers it.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. Or you have a mixed system that uses timing and sensors, and it changes depending on the kind of day, where it is. It's like you can set up a citywide comprehensive traffic light plan. Mm-hmm. Some cities have this.
Yeah.
Even the best mixed citywide comprehensive traffic light plan mm-hmm. reduces congestion by 1%.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlanta's bad about that, at least in my area. And Jerry can confirm this, she kind of lives over near me, but there's all these scenarios where you'll stop at a light that's timed to not... part of the smart light system is that they're all timed to work together. So like if you sit here at this corner and you take a right on red, there's not another red light waiting on you. And then that turns green, and then 30 more feet, there's another red light.
Nice.
They should be timed out to where they're where green. In L.A., it's like... I mean, that's the one thing I will say. There's a lot of traffic. It's just because the people. They do the best they can. You look down, they have these long, long, long straight streets in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And late at night, you'll be sitting like on Hollywood Boulevard at a red light, and you'll see boink, 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 boink. You'll see like eight lights turn green all
it's
in
like
a row.
It's like that New Balance commercial.
Yeah.
With that woman running, and she pushes herself to make all the lights.
Yeah.
Doomed to failure, but still, it was a nice effort.
I would go longer in LA just to get off the highway, even if it took me longer, just to feel like I was moving.
Yeah. And Chuck, I'm about to spoil it for all of our British, UK, English, Welsh, Irish, Scottish friends.
Yes.
Who are typing an angry corrective email about Alistair Darling. He is not the Transportation Secretary. He was the British Secretary of State for Trade and Industry.
Lord Adonis is the Transport Secretary.
That is, and me.
And your hotel name.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
We were talking about people studying this kind of thing. There's all sorts of really cool quantifications for traffic. My favorite is the passenger car equivalent.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so you have a passenger car is, say, a sedan, an average sedan, a Toyota Camry.
Okay.
All right? Or, to be fair, a Honda Accord.
Right.
Okay? That is like just an average car that you can fit four people into, and it drives down the road, and it's right. pretty responsive. And,
sure.
An SUV or a bus or a van is not as responsive. Because they're larger and because they take up more space, they're slower to accelerate.
Yeah.
And so they exact a heavier burden on a highway during congestion.
Okay.
Right? So what they've come up with are passenger car equivalents. So an SUV is 1.4 PCE.
Sure.
Right? And then a city bus is like 4.4 PCE.
That means it's like four cars, right?
Has the same as far as like accelerating after braking and just the space it's taking up.
Right.
That's the equivalent of a passenger car. So one good solution to traffic is everybody driving smaller cars.
Yeah, no kidding.
And virtual slots, right?
Yeah, what's the deal there? Each car has a certain amount of space it takes up, and don't try and fit into a slot that's a bit smaller than your car. How it works?
Yeah, that's pretty much virtual slots.
It's like Tetris?
Yeah, if you just imagine that there is a basically a rectangle around your car.
Like your or a bubble?
A bubble, but not a brake bubble.
Okay.
You want to avoid the brake bubble. But this is more of a rectangle, and it kind of hugs the sides of your cars, but is longer on the front and back.
Right.
And if everybody's car stays in these slots that are on the highway, you just kind of pull into them as you're driving.
Yeah.
And the slots are going like all the same rate.
Right.
Then as long as there's not too many cars on the road, or more cars than there are slots.
Right.
There should be no traffic.
Yeah, but that never happens because...
all this is pie in the sky stuff.
Well, yeah, because when invariably you're sitting in the lane and you're like, oh, well, that lane's moving now. And then you get over in that lane, you're like, well, now that lane's moving. And you keep going back and forth where if you stayed where you are, if everyone stayed where they were, you would all get there quicker.
Or if everybody just stayed at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good point. Quit your jobs. Stay at home.
Right. So that's our two cents. And if you want to learn more about traffic, we've been killing the articles with cool flash animations, haven't we?
Oh, did this have one?
It has a flash animation about a traffic wave.
Cool.
No brake bubble, though. I'm going to see about having somebody add one of those.
Coin the term, my friend.
You can type in traffic. I think it'll bring up a bunch of stuff in the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com, which means it's time for listener questions.
It's time for Facebook questions. Yes, as we said in that other podcast on Quicksand, we posed on Facebook, hey, give us some questions. We'll answer like 10 of them really quickly. We got 180 of them.
I know, it's crazy.
In an hour. This comes from Chelsea. What's the most unusual thing you've ever eaten? Tripe, for me, which is intestines. Go ahead. What's yours?
I've had fried chicken hearts. I've had beef tongue.
Yeah, I've had tongue.
My favorite is bone marrow.
Really?
Highly, highly recommend. Anywhere you can find bone marrow, just eat it. The only place down here is Rathbun's, and it's okay. Yeah,
but you go to Rathbun's, you got to get one of the steaks.
No, not Rathbun's steaks.
Oh,
regular Rathbun's. Gotcha. Yeah, strangely, it doesn't have bone marrow there. Hmm. But yes, those weird stuff.
All right, what do you got? I got you questions right there. You want to read one?
Yeah, I guess. This one's from Jacob. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear, and Jacob hyphenates no one, which frankly I find like flourish nice.
Yes.
Except for a tape recorder, which absorbs the radiant vibrations and can later play them back as audible waves, did the tree really make a sound? The answer is yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Kristen says, where are Chris and Candace now? And who does the intro for the podcast? Chris Paulette is co-host of Tech Stuff now and has been for quite a while.
He's made it. Hometown boy made good.
Candace Gibson Keener has gotten married, and she stepped out of the limelight to concentrate on just being an editor, but she's still here, sits right next to Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And Roxanne does the intros for the podcast. She's our head of video.
There you go.
That is not Jerry. A lot of people think it's Jerry.
Those are some comprehensive answers right there. Rachel says she currently lives in Athens, GA. Go Dawgs.
Right.
I'd love to hear more about your experience living here, where you hung out, your favorite bands, and see what other fond or not so fond memories you might have of Athens. She says we have quite a following there. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't either. My bar was Roadhouse. I hung out at Roadhouse all the time.
I was a Georgia bar guy.
Did you?
Yes. And we should point out, though, that the Georgia bar, the Globe, and the Roadhouse made up the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
And you could access them all through the alley to get to the next.
You most decidedly could.
Quite often you would hop around, depending
on... I just stayed at Roadhouse. I hope Roadhouse is still there. It's got to be.
Yeah, it is.
And then, of course, I always liked Wilson Soul Food and Guthrie's, which, in my opinion, is superior to Zaxby's, even though it's the same thing.
Yeah, I was automatic for the people.
Were you?
Yeah, I lived right around the corner from there. So
I can't remember. What was the name of that restaurant?
I went to Weaver D's, automatic for the people.
Yes, that was good, too. I liked Wilson's because the owner walked around, and he's like 4 feet tall, and he shook hands with everybody.
Right.
Nice guy. and, of course, Harry Bissett's.
I never went there.
Oh, my God.
That was a frat bar. You went there?
I could go. It wasn't just the bar. Like, the food was amazing.
Oh, was it?
I put the food up against any in Atlanta.
Euro wrap. Man, I ate a lot of Euros in college.
Yeah, it was good.
All right.
Good times.
Kristen, no. Randy, who's the cat who won't cop out when there's danger all about? I think we both know. Shaft.
Nice.
Who's the cat that won't cop out?
That's one of the lesser quoted lines from that song.
Yeah.
I've got one from Siobhan. How do your significant others feel about your legion of man crushes and equally strong lady crushes? Chuck, I wasn't aware that anyone had a crush on us, were you?
I didn't know that.
No?
I've seen it before, but Emily thinks it's funny.
Does she?
Sure.
Yeah, it is funny.
Jeez, no, I'm not going anywhere.
It is. I mean, if you, if only people could see our stomachs. So much hair and lint.
Laura, how many emails do you get per podcast? We get about 300 a week. Laura? Alan, who put the bomb in the bomb, shabomp, shabomp? The only reason I read that is because he's dressed as Milhouse in his picture.
Nice.
And who was your most surprising celebrity fan? We've only got a few that we know of, and they're all surprising.
Each one is more surprising than last. I've got one. I can't remember her name. There's a girl who stars in The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
She's a fan of the show?
She tweeted that she was on set, like, in between shooting and listening to Stuff You Should Know.
Huh.
Yeah.
John Hodgman? I was pretty knocked out by that.
That's pretty cool.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah.
Will Wheaton?
Yeah. Renee Zellweger?
Aisha Tyler?
Yes.
And a couple of the Daily Show guys, Wyatt Cenac?
Yeah. Joe Randazzo, the editor-in-chief of The Onion?
In fact, if you are a celebrity that we did not mention, we would love to know that you listen to us.
Yeah,
because
it is kind of thrilling.
We're like... We're nobody, so when we hear that, we think it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one more.
Pirates.
Shelly says, pirates are ninjas. Ninjas, clearly.
Definitely. That's it. Okay. Chuck's given the... He's out. What is that called in Vegas?
Yeah, it's like when the dealer finishes their round or whatever.
Yeah, there's got to be a name for it. If you know the name for that, we want to know. Send it in an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF. 20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.